part-time fanboy.
Part-time fanboy doing my thing.
More powerful than a locomotive.
I'm not doing part. Fanboy.com.
Greetings, everyone. This is Ian Scheller of Part-Time Fanboy coming at you live from the world-famous Dolby Room on Hollywood Boulevard in Los Angeles, California. I have a very special guest with me. He is actually a lifelong comic book collector, fan, movie buff, and also was awarded the 2016 Facebook DC Fan of the Year Award, Oscar Aparicio. Hopefully you've listened to the previous episode on Part-Time Fanboy where Christian and the guys sat down and watched Batman v Superman for the first time and gave a very interesting critique of it. We're hoping to get a different side of that story. Oscar, thank you for joining us.
First of all, I want to try to hear what their critique was.
Oh, do you?
So after this,
yeah,
if you could send me something, I'd appreciate
it. Yeah, I'll tell you they hated the movie.
I don't know why.
it was an amazing episode. And just from speaking with you.
Now, they sat through it, right?
Oh, yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. I mean, they recorded before they watched it. Mm-hmm. I'll just give you a quick teaser because I was talking to someone else about this. One of the best openings to a podcast I've ever heard. Just tell the audience, how many times have you seen Batman v Superman?
All right.
Total.
Total?
Yeah. How many times have you seen the movie?
Okay. I've seen the movie in the theaters 5 times. And I've seen the extended version 3 times now.
Okay, now I wasn't going to jump into Batman v Superman. I want to maybe talk about how you're collecting, and but I can't avoid this. Okay, just one more time. I think my brain just malfunctioned. 5 times in the theater.
I could explain those, though. It wasn't like...
Do you have to explain them, or you just saw it because you love the movie?
No. It was a combination of both. I didn't love it.
Okay.
I accepted the faults that it had, and mm-hmm. I moved on.
Because
I'm a DC fan, and I'm I've told you before, I'm a DC apologist.
Right.
The first time I went to go see it was with my daughter. It was a pre-screening. I guess I was too geeked about it that I didn't listen to the Martha thing, didn't listen to the Doom.
Yeah.
To any of that.
Right.
So I was kind of geeking out. The second time I saw it, I was like, okay, just noticed that. Not sure if I like it. The third time I saw it was with my brother, because he hadn't seen it.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth time, this isn't making me look good. I got to be honest with you. Saying it out loud makes me realize I really fucked up.
Right. I mean, it sounds like you need help.
Yeah.
So the fourth time, third time was the brother?
First time daughter, second time friends from here, from work.
Right.
Third time brother.
Yeah.
Fourth time was another group of friends that aren't comic book fans, and I figured, okay, I might have a chance with them.
Sure.
They don't know anything about comics.
And by chance, were you thinking they might magically think this is amazing?
Yes.
And therefore, it'll pass on to you.
It'll be like Neosporin on a wound.
Yeah.
it'll take the edge off.
Okay, so that was
it was actually the complete opposite. They wanted to leave halfway through the movie, and I told them, if you guys get up and leave, I'm not getting the beer and pizzas at Shakey's.
Was that the deal?
I made that the deal at that time because I wanted to sit through it.
What particular scene do you remember put them over the edge to be like, all right, you know, this is a bad movie and we're ready to walk?
When everything exploded at the, I think it was some Senate house or something like that.
Oh, the urine jar into the...
Yes.
I happen to enjoy that moment
but
a lot.
They, one of them looked at me and was like, dude, come on.
It's over.
And I just like that. So like, just it's only like 30, 40 minutes left.
Right. Because you knew the timing,
yeah,
the sequence.
And one of them turned around and said, "Are you fucking serious?" I said, just if you guys stay, I'll buy the beer and pizza.
Sure.
So they stayed.
Okay, so that was the fourth time. You said five times in the theater. What was the fifth time?
The fifth time my daughter wanted to see it again.
Again?
Again.
So this is a daughter you must love.
Very
much. I mean, you must love her.
I have two daughters. Older one, she hates anything that's comic book related.
Mm-hmm.
The younger one's a comic book geek.
Are you sure you didn't, in some sort of weird delusion or daydream, call her and tell her to ask you to go see it again? Or did she actually come up to you and say, "Hey, I want to go back and see this thing"?
We were at the Irvine Spectrum, and my older daughter was with her friends. She was doing some shopping, and my youngest one's like, "Well, there's no stores for me here."
Okay.
I was like, "Well, what do you want to do?" Like, "Well, let's go watch, you know, Batman, Superman again." I was like, "All right, you know, it's Kilo, you know, freaking 14 years old with her friend. She's going to take forever to shop." So I was like, "Okay, let's go watch it." So that's pretty much what we did.
All right. So that covers five of the eight viewings, I think, you told me about.
Yeah.
Briefly tell us about the home viewings, I'm assuming you've done.
The Cody viewings.
Cody.
Cody. It's like a pirated version.
Oh, okay.
I didn't buy it.
Oh, really? By that
I'm
time,
a safe face. I'm a safe face and say I didn't buy it.
So what your theory was, I've given this enough money in the theater, hundreds of dollars,
more
quite possibly,
enough.
If you count up the popcorn sales. And then you just said, "Okay, let me just get this from an unnamed
source."
Let me see it.
What it's about. Let me see if, because by the fifth one,
you were done. You had to be done with it.
I was done. I was.
Were you still hoping by the fifth time? Like your daughter says to you, "Hey, you know, my sister's. There's nothing here for me. Let's go see this."
Yeah.
Was there still somewhere in you hope that, like, you would see it and be like, "You know what? It can't be that bad. I must have missed something in the first four viewings I did."
I wanted to get the 3D one so I could put my shades on and just go to sleep for a little bit.
Is that what you did?
I wanted to, but she didn't want to do 3D. She wanted to do regular. So, two sodas, medium popcorn, just... It really wasn't enough.
Okay.
I look forward to the trailers more than the movie. Then after the trailers, I was like, "All right, fuck." It's like when you go to the dentist, you got to do it regardless.
Yeah, right. Now, you watched the extended cut three times at home by yourself?
Once with my daughter.
Okay.
And the other two times by myself.
And your daughter, I'm very curious, how old is she?
10.
Now, what is her take on this movie?
She loved it. Then again, she's 10.
And what is her background with the characters? Has she read a lot of Batman, Superman books?
No,
is it
she's
really,
usually,
this is kind
she's,
of...
I think she's doing it more for me than anything
I see.
Else.
She likes being with you and
yeah.
sharing in the event.
Yeah.
Okay, so a 10-year-old really enjoyed this movie.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you sent me a list earlier about your favorite movies, and the top of the list... Which is, what was I going to say? Top of the list is Braveheart, which is a fantastic movie, right? That's undebatable, really. If you said to someone, "Hey, my favorite movie is Braveheart," someone might say to you, "Oh, wow," you know, critically acclaimed, directed by an insane person who I happen to love, actually. I don't care what he says about the Jews. I loved Apocalypto. I mean, this guy's
is a very wild
filmmaker.
Yeah.
No holds barred, doesn't hold back, but storytelling, you know, Braveheart has everything you would want from it. Why is it so hard for DC to make movies that have basic storytelling in them?
I don't know if it's DC. I don't know if it's DC or Warner. I think it's Warner Brothers.
Okay.
Right,
so interchangeably,
so it's
why
Warner
is it so hard for them to do that?
You know what? I don't know. I think if they let DC do what they do best, and that's storytell, I think they would be a little bit more successful than what they are right now. They, for whatever reason, they panicked. They panicked when Marvels came out with their universe So they said, well, we need to come out with ours. But right. we can't do Origins because obviously Marvel did that already. Mm-hmm. It worked perfectly. But let's do the complete opposite mm-hmm. and let's see what happens. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, I enjoyed Man of Steel, but I don't think it should have been the catapult for the entire universe. Mm-hmm. I think if anything, yes, you know, you could tee off of that, but you didn't have to make it the foundation of the universe. And that's, I never understood that, but that's what they did. And at this point, they put Zack Snyder at the helm of it. And I mean, there's really nothing else we could do but just try to accept that it's going to be a C-level movie.
Is Batman v Superman a C-level movie?
It's a D. It's a D in my eyes. It's a D because you had the two most iconic superheroes ever, mm-hmm. and people came out of the movie pissed off.
Right.
So it took me 3 viewings to realize that. Like I've always said, I like watching movies twice because the first time, especially if it's something I'm excited about, I'm too geeked about it to right. fault or see any faults with mm-hmm. it. The second time, I'm more like, okay, I come in with a more objective mind, mm-hmm. where it's like, okay, yeah, that didn't work. Yeah, why did they do that? But I don't know why they keep putting their fingerprints all over those type of movies. They should just let DC do what DC does best, and that storytell.
Mm-hmm. We don't know what the infrastructure is on the corporate side. Mm-hmm. It seems Marvel's just definitely set up for a just touch-and-go thing with Disney, and it just works. Yeah. It seemed to work from day one.
Yeah.
I want to bring up a few points that the part-time fanboys made on the previous episode about Batman v Superman, which is actually newer stuff that I never even thought of.
Okay.
And I want to get your take on it. There was something they talked about with the final fight scene, and that Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman are fighting together, but they didn't even talk to each other in this epic fight. And it's something I didn't even think about because I only saw the movie once. But when you think of that and you think about how many comics were written in such a way, and even recently in Civil War, the whole major climatic fight scene is a huge, beautifully choreographed fight and tons of dialogue.
Yeah.
That choice of not having dialogue in that fight, to me, you know, seemed, after hearing that comment, was like, is that something you had thought about? Or what is your take on that kind of thing?
I never thought about it until you brought it up. But yeah. You know, it does take more away from it. It's like you're cutting from what, you know, those heroes are. I mean, when you see the comic books, when you read the comic books, you always see some type of dialogue between, even between themselves, as far as like, you know, planning, even a little bit of infighting. You
right.
see something.
Right.
You read it, and there's some type of animosity, especially when they meet for the first time. Mm-hmm. There was none of that in this one.
Correct.
And I mean, obviously there was some with Batman and Superman, but I don't understand why they decided to put that out. And I'm sure that they got the movie, they sat down with a bunch of suits, and they said, this is great. This is gonna get us a mm-hmm. lot of money. Mm-hmm. And it should have been the other way around. I mean, I've never heard Kevin Smith talk about Zack Snyder in a bad way until that
came out. And it takes a lot for that guy to say anything bad because he wants to stay in everyone's good graces.
He wants to have people
on the off chance
he might do something or have him on his show.
Correct.
But he said I don't know what they were thinking when they when they pre-screened it and said let's go ahead and release it.
Right.
I don't know what they were thinking either. It just isn't. It didn't make any sense that there was. The dialogue sucked between Batman and Superman.
Right, at a 10-year-old level, though, pretty good.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Because there's no dialogue.
Right.
It's just, you know, people punching. There's a lot of theatrics.
Right.
There's a lot of fire.
Right.
And
but if you've gone through puberty and above, ages, you know, 13 and up, you might have serious issues with the whole thing.
Yeah, because like you, I mean, people that are that read comic books, they don't read them just because of the superhero. Mm-hmm. They don't read them because of you know the tragic history behind them. They read it because most of them pick it up because that's one of their favorite writers, Paul Dini, Brian Azzarello, any one of them,
yeah.
Any one of them. They pick them up because there's going to be some sort of great dialogue.
Correct.
In them.
Mm-hmm.
This day, I can't picture one or recall two or three dialogues between either Batman, Superman, and let's not forget about Lex. Lex was supposed to be the villain in this one, but for whatever reason, he was pretty much an afterthought.
So that's a good point. That's another thing I wanted to bring up from the part-time fanboy viewing was. And a lot of people talked about the performance and the choices and this and that. There's no question Jesse Eisenberg's a great actor.
Mm-hmm.
The guy's done a ton of work. He's very skilled. I'm sure he would have done any style that was recommended to him. Now, of course, we don't know if this was his pure idea or whatever it was, or maybe he was getting very heavy direction in one way. But it seemed very stereotypical. I almost thought he should have played this actually as like a happy-go-lucky Mark Zuckerberg, someone more cheerier and happier and just joyful and gleeful about these kind of things that he wanted to do instead of this kind of, you know, it was very, to me, it was, again, another portrayal of what he did in Social Network in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have rather him be incredibly excited and happy about what he was doing. And there was a big reference on the last episode to Gene Hackman's portrayal of Lex Luthor, which some people love. You don't agree?
No, I didn't like Gene Hackman's portrayal.
Who do you look to when you see Lex Luthor, or has anyone yet to do it?
The only one that I could think of that did it well was, and I can't remember the actor's name, but it was the character that was in Smallville.
Mm-hmm.
He's the only one that nailed it.
Why?
Because Lex Luthor was never about showboating. Mm-hmm. He was never about what he could do and any of that. He was more, he played mind games with people.
Mm-hmm.
He was more of a mind game type of hero. And why they decided to go in the route of a hipster billionaire who just is trying to get an import license from the government. The government doesn't want to weaponize something that might stop Superman. Like, just all of that, you know, it just doesn't make any sense. Why wouldn't the government want to weaponize something to stop one of the most powerful people in the world? I never understood that. It's like, I think the government would have been doing this by now. So, like, again, the storytelling from Zack Snyder, it just, I cringe when I think about it, when I try to apologize for it. I cringe because I can't keep apologizing for it. The fact that he's at the helm scares me, especially right now since they're shooting Justice League. I saw the trailer, and I mean, and there wasn't that much to see, but I'm just, if Wonder Woman isn't a hit, everything else is just gonna fucking fall apart. I know it, and that sucks because, like I said, I think the only people you can blame is Warner Bros. You can't blame DC,
right?
You really can't blame DC. DC's
going. I don't think they have. Do they have a true movie division?
The only movie division they have is the animated division,
right?
And that, you know, and I think that too, they're getting some sort of guidance from Warner Brothers.
That division, though, has a huge history of amazing work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Killing Joke came out. It's met with some criticism. Yeah. But if you look at the bulk of what they have done, it's consistent, great storytelling.
Yeah.
They're always adding twists and turns. You have amazing choreography, direction, all down the road. It's sometimes difficult, I guess, because we really don't know what the behind the scenes are, but getting back to what our favorite movies are and why we like things, like, people know what a good movie is.
Yeah.
People know what good writing is, what good storytelling is, and it really does start from the writing, right? But consistently, DC has put out really just garbage representations of the of these characters that are so beloved, and really, this is the point, is that some people do believe, 10-year-old aside, that movie is actually great, and they will defend it. I think you've seen it so much now and really had time to think about it that you might be letting it go, but they will defend it because they love the characters so much, and they don't want it to be a bad movie. No one wants it to be a bad movie.
I was trying to convince myself that it wasn't a bad movie. And I guess by the fourth time when I went to go see it with friends, and they're like, you know, they knew, of course, who Batman and Superman were, but they didn't understand the dynamic that they kept asking me, well, don't they fight together? Don't they get along? It's like, no, this is like an origin story. It's like them getting to know each other. But then, you know, one of them said, really, Martha? That's how they became friends? Again, it goes back to writing, and I don't know who, I think the writers were Goyer and I forgot the other guy's name. I just don't understand how that was the pinnacle of where, okay, this is where they're actually going to fight together, fight along. Mm-hmm. He's going to save Martha. Martha's not going to die, I promise you this. We could go on and on discussing this, and I prefer if we didn't.
Well, and that's the amazing thing about this is the last episode of the podcast just ended. I felt like the guys that watched it could have kept going, and it ended so abruptly because at some point you have to turn yourself off because based on the history of film, this movie makes no sense.
No.
And it's I think though the reason it's still being talked about is because it's a real tragedy.
It really is. I mean, I remember when I first saw on YouTube that they had announced the movie. It was still rumored. Nothing was official or anything like that. And then one of the characters from Man of Steel was reading from Dark Knight, The Dark Knight Returns, the comic book. And then they showed the logo of Superman, and then coming out from the shadows was the logo of Batman.
Right.
And I remember I was like, oh fuck yeah, you know. I honestly I got goosebumps.
Sure.
I
was that Absolutely.
Excited. Yeah. I was like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
And I was excited that Zach was excited. So that kind of gave me like, okay, he's gonna make sure it's well done, because I enjoyed The Watchmen.
Mm-hmm.
Because he really didn't do any type of writing. It was pretty much...
it was an homage.
Yeah, it was pretty much just a page-by-page of the actual graphic novel. There wasn't... He tweaked it here and there, but nothing to the point where you're going to be like, no, why? Why did he do that? And a lot of people think back, like, well, he did a great movie on that one. It's like, and some people... enjoyed it and some people didn't, but I was one that's like, you know, I think he did the right thing in not trying to change it too much.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what he should have done in this one, Batman v Superman, he should have gotten some type of story from any of the graphic novels that have come out. I think the one of the best ones that I've read recently was the one with I think it was Jim Lee.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not Hush. Sure which. But it was another one.
Okay.
Where they're both, I guess, Batman, Bruce Wayne's pretty much just chilling at the park, and two kids are fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them's about to, like, just knock the bully out. And, of course, Clark Kent being Clark Kent, he stops them.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of their little meeting, Bruce Wayne turns around. Go back to Metropolis, Kent, or wherever it is he came from. And I was like, that would have been perfect. That would have worked out well in the theaters, because it just doesn't, it's not, you're not so much playing to the fanboys, you're playing to everyone.
Right.
Instead of just...
with cinematic storytelling.
Yeah. Instead of just playing to the fanboys. This was a fanboy movie made by a fanboy who got a lot of money and got carried away with it.
The last thing before we move on. This movie exhausts people. And that was a good point I want to make too, especially after the viewing the guys did last weekend. They said they felt exhausted. after they saw the movie. And I actually felt the same way. Mm-hmm. And I wonder about that. Like, that to me is crazy, because almost in that way, to me, it's not even a film. It didn't seem like a film to me. But did you feel exhausted at all? And do you think it was because of the film, or because you were just expending so much energy, like, trying to figure out?
I think I was exhausted by the third time.
Uh-huh.
The fourth time, it was trying to just...
Get through it.
The fifth time, the same thing. But it became just more of a chore than trying to enjoy the movie. It became just like, okay, I guess I have to go do this.
Here's the thing. If you watch a movie like Braveheart, you're not bored.
No.
You that movie's done, you're like pumped.
Yeah.
You're excited. I remember watching The 300. Mm-hmm. I walked out of that movie, and with the group of guys we were just going, we're just like barking at each other. But I was exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
I was absolutely exhausted. Because that's just what it was. And is it fair to say that this guy's just not a good director?
He's not a good director. He's not a good storyteller. He's not a good editor. I don't know why he insists on being, his fingerprints being all over. He's trying, I don't know if he's trying to please Nolan to the point that it almost becomes the exact opposite of what Nolan's storytelling is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's becoming more and more fact that he's not a good director and he's not a good writer. I mean, I would even think that the who's the guy that did Avatar is a better storyteller than
Avatar's Cameron.
Yeah.
Oh, he's yes, fantastic.
Yeah, exactly.
Terminator 2.
I mean, why he got the helm of it, I have no idea.
Cameron would be a great choice
for anyone but Zach. I mean, I've always thought that. I thought Mel Gibson should, and I know he's not going to ever do a comic book movie, but right. I think if anything, his writing alone might help in any type of comic book movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think him writing anything would help any writer, especially in DC right now. It's just so off the board. It just doesn't make any sense. Bringing them everyone together when there's no origin, creating a Batman that's 20 years old. I mean, it just I never understood that, but you know that's what they intended to go by.
Do you think DC will be able to get out of its own way / Warner Brothers? And what do you think they should do besides make a great movie? It seems like it's more needs to be done. There's still a rabid fan base.
Yeah.
There are people out there that will go tell you Suicide Squad's a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
When we know, well, that was a very heavy influence studio thing.
Yeah.
They panicked again, like you had said earlier, and they intervened, and they pretty much destroyed the artistic vision of a great director.
Yeah.
I would argue David Ayer is a very good director, mm-hmm. if not great. In Zack Snyder's case, this was just this guy running rampant who maybe not be up to artistically the case. So now they've intervened on that level, almost mistaking David Ayer's dark, introspective style for what was happening in Batman v Superman, which is insane,
mm-hmm.
because that's very two different aesthetics happening. But they intervene on Suicide Squad. Suicide Squad might be at the tomato reading or below what Batman v Superman was, critically.
Yeah.
But you still have this rabid fan base that will watch anything. If Wonder Woman aside, does it have to be Justice League next? What would you put out next?
There's really nothing you can do at this point. I mean, the only thing you can honestly do is just hope that Wonder Woman's a good movie. Hope that they actually let the directors direct. And not
mm-hmm.
panic or try to put their own style. We need to make it fun. We need to make it funny. We need to make it light.
Mm-hmm.
None of that
stuff. Which are all afterthoughts.
Yeah.
Which is the worst thing you could ever do for a story.
If you choose a... I'm assuming that It's not like you get an application of a director and you figure out, okay, I like this guy's resume. Let's go ahead and talk to him.
Right.
Let's go ahead and hire him. All these directors, obviously, they sat down in an office and said, okay, what's your vision?
Correct.
They sell, as long as they sell their vision, let them do what they need, what they're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm almost scared for James Wan's Aquaman, because James Wan's a dark, dark director.
Yeah. What has he done?
Insidious.
Oh, boy. Yeah, see, Conjuring. These aren't the right choices, in my opinion. Whether they're a good director or not, I'm just saying, this is all they're just hitting this. This is not even film noir. They're really hitting like this super, super dark palette. And then they're changing it afterwards, saying, oh, well, it can't be dark.
Yeah.
And look what Marvel is doing.
Like I said, that's my fear on James Wan, that he's going to make a really great dark Aquaman movie, because the perception of Aquaman right now is that he's dorky. No one, that's the worst superhero.
He got painted for being a homosexual.
Yeah.
As if that is an awful thing. It's not. But for years, that was this kind of take. Oh, Aquaman's gay.
That was the stigma.
It made no sense. Honestly, never made any sense to me.
And that's, like I said, that was the stigma. And everyone you talk to would say Aquaman's a useless.
Right. Useless character.
Useless
great character. On Super Friends, though.
Yeah.
I mean, fantastic. I was always so happy when he showed up for some reason.
I honestly prefer, I'm not trying to knock Aquaman or anything, but I always preferred Namor, the submariner.
We've missed him, but he's probably locked up in some copyright battle.
And because he always was an asshole.
Yes.
He was an asshole.
He really was.
You know, people would come down, the X-Men or the Avengers would come down and say, hey, we need your help. It's like, that's your problem. I'm down here.
Yeah.
You take care of your stuff.
Yeah, totally.
And he didn't care. And the stuff that I liked about him was that he even killed. He had no...
Right. No qualms.
No qualms about it.
One of the original characters, too. Very early character.
Yeah. I mean, that's why they're trying to do this whole changeover on Aquaman, make him mean, make him an asshole, make him someone that doesn't play nice with others. And that's fine. But if you're going to do that, let the director do it his way.
Correct.
There's no need to...
And who's intervene. The director? So, but there's a different director on Justice League as there is on this solo Aquaman.
Justice League is Zack Snyder. Aquaman is James Wan. And Flash has the director that did Dope, which I actually enjoyed that movie.
It's a good movie.
Yeah. You see, if they were to go that direction,
yes.
And I think it's, if he makes it work, I'm excited to see what he does. But at this point, honestly, I'm just almost 50-50 on if there's even going to be any future movies after Justice League.
Right.
Justice League just bombs. I don't see how, because it's a public company. I don't see how the shareholders are going to be like, yes, let's keep putting more money into movies that are just going to be shit.
Do you expect the DC movies to suck at this point?
Yeah. And that's sad to say. I don't expect them to suck. I don't expect them to totally suck. I do expect them to be just eh.
But you're still going to watch.
I'm still going to
You're still going to get opening day tickets?
I'm going to get opening day tickets. I'm going to do whatever I can. I might even see them once or twice.
Mm-hmm. Or eight times. My God. I mean, it's just amazing. It's like... But I mean, it speaks to the level of dedication. You wanted it to be good. You thought by watching it so many times, the movie would transform itself. Perhaps.
But it was more of a... Maybe I didn't get it because I missed something.
Right. Maybe you don't have the intelligence of a 10-year-old.
Maybe I'm putting too much emphasis on storytelling. I should just I should just worry about the shiny.
Sure.
The shiny costumes and the blowing up of buildings and cars. Hooking up a car like a kick the can type of deal with a. The Batmobile. That I didn't understand. Because you saw that part, correct?
What's that?
Where Batman got hooked up another car and just was driving it.
Yeah.
That I didn't...
Again, it's amazing because this movie, like, the more you talk about it, just stuff keeps coming out and out. And, like, time goes by, but then it's like you keep...
It's almost, you have to dedicate, okay, let's dedicate 40 minutes to this, to the first 40 minutes of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
And then, all right, so what were the qualms right there? And you should make a list of it.
But yeah, it never stops.
No.
It's kind of like a friend that just needs to be committed to an asylum or see a shrink.
I wonder what Zach thought. That's my thing. And he hasn't talked about the movie at all. He hasn't said, he hasn't even defended it or anything. He's just letting the critics pretty much talk as much as they want. He hasn't said anything about it. Not even Ben Affleck has said anything. And for him, he's usually always willing to talk about the movies.
It does seem that with the appointment of Ben Affleck, because it seems like they're giving him more than just a Batman helm.
Oh, yeah.
Seems to be some other, you know, stuff they want from him. Guidance,
yeah.
Consulting, and then Geoff Johns. But Geoff Johns' work's probably not going to be felt till after Justice League.
Till after Justice League, because from what I've read, he's helping Ben Affleck do the Batman movie.
Solo writing, Batman movie.
Yeah, solo Batman.
I have a feeling that's going to be fantastic.
I hope so. If
it ever gets made.
If it ever gets made. That's if Justice League... If Justice League's moms, I don't know how they could continue spitting out movie after movie after movie. And not only that, it's just the shows, the TV shows as well, that are just horrible to watch.
The CW?
The CW, I can't watch
Arrow
anymore. I can't. After the first season of Gotham, I was pretty much pissed off. That one pissed
the crap out of me. Don't get me started on Gotham.
Supergirl... Even my daughter was like, "Dad, no, yeah, she didn't want to watch anything." I guess she spoiled in the fact on CG.
Yeah,
and I was like, "Sweetie, that's different,
right?
It's TV," and she just didn't.
Really? What about the Flash on TV?
The Flash, I enjoyed the first season, mm-hmm. but then when Hawk Girl and Hawk, yeah, all of that, it just
couldn't do it.
It's one of those things that Hawk Girl and Hawkeye. Hawk or whatever the fuck he's called.
Yeah.
They work in the comic books.
Sure.
TV, no. They don't. They don't work. It's goofy. It looks really ridiculous. The only show that I liked, and of course because it worked well, was Constantine. Hmm? That's the only show I liked. And what happened? They put it in the slot. Or was competing against the best TV shows out there.
Right.
So obviously it didn't do as well.
It's a fringe character, yeah. Too. It's
and it kicked ass. And every episode it got better and better. But then, of course, they put it against some of the best TV shows out there on Thursday night. I never understood that. Just give it its own. Give it on Monday. Give it a Tuesday, if anything. Give it a freaking Sunday or put it on Netflix or something like that. Hulu, anything like that. But don't put it up against TV shows that are already there, that have already their own audience. And you're not going to be able to take away audiences from NBC or CBS and attract them to that.
Yeah.
To that audience right there. So, and it sucks because I think he's the only one that portrayed Constantine as well as... I don't know if...
better Keanu. Than Keanu Reeves?
Keanu, that was his own version, and I accepted it.
That movie is an anomaly. It exists in a very strange universe.
And yeah, it wasn't part of the...
Very far away from...
I didn't think it was DC.
It didn't feel like it.
DC at all.
I feel like they gave the movie to a third party. Yeah. They came out back with this thing, which I actually saw twice in the theater, believe it or not.
I enjoyed it. I didn't think it was the best thing.
Had editing problems. There was definitely some post-production issues there. But it was, to me, it was very intriguing. I don't know if it's a good movie, but it was interesting to me. But I wanted to see the guy in the trench coat. I wanted to see a Brit.
Exactly. I wanted to see
I want to see guy. The demon.
Yeah. Nothing happened.
I want to see Pillow Guy. You know what I mean? The little potato pillow guy. I don't even know his name. But... very interesting. Well, Oscar, I feel like we've
covered a lot.
Come to the point that really DC, Warner Brothers, is a fragmented mess right now. It's not a newsflash to many people. They've got a long way to go to earn back almost there's just a general apathetic disgust right now with the entire thing, which is kind of sad.
It is. I mean, I think they're more sad. They're more pissed off at Warner Brothers than they are at DC.
Correct.
I think that's the reality. I talked to a lot of Marvel fanatics,
mm-hmm.
and not just guys that just became Marvel fans after the movies came out. These are guys that have followed. They actually prefer Marvel comics because they related to them. The guy that was put off on the shadows, the guy that would read a lot.
Yes.
You know, the guy that would, you know, wasn't a jock, wasn't the popular guy, and stuff like that. And I think Marvel connected more with them than DC.
Right.
DC, their heroes, they were too strong.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they almost had to go with villains that were just a little bit almost as powerful as the heroes,
mm-hmm.
or just almost even.
Right.
But they say, a lot of them said that they enjoyed Suicide Squad because they weren't expecting much.
Mm. And that's one way to get success. Just lower everyone's expectations so much that the only way you could go is up.
Exactly. And I think they've hit rock bottom with Batman v Superman.
Wow, rock bottom.
Yeah, that from now on, Suicide Squad, I went to go watch it. It had a lot of editing problems. You saw that the studio's fingerprints all over it. But like I was talking to Clifford, and he's like, you know, somewhere in there is a good movie, and that's and that's the only way to look at it. I mean, I enjoyed it. There was some writing and editing problems, but other than that, it was an okay movie. And that's how you have to come into DC. Warner Brother type of movie.
At this point.
Yeah. You have to lower your expectations and hope that you're surprised.
And what better way to end this episode of Part-Time Fanboy than hope to be surprised. Oscar, thank you very much.
We've
been talking to Oscar Aparicio. I'm working on it. Oscar is DC Comics Facebook 2016 Fan of the Year. And this has been a special episode of Part-Time Fanboy, a rebuttal, if you will, to Batman v Superman, where we actually came out with the same conclusion that was laid down in the previous podcast, live from the world-famous Dolby Room on Hollywood Boulevard. We'll see you guys later. Take care for now.
Part-Time Fanboy.